The epistle appointed to be read for this, the feast of the Nativity of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is taken from St. Paul's epistle to Titus. Beloved, the grace of God our Savior has appeared to all men, instructing us in order that rejecting ungodliness and worldly lusts, we may live temperately and justly and piously in this world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious coming of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and cleanse for himself an acceptable people pursuing good works. Thus speak and exhort in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, a decree went forth from Caesar Augustus that a census of the whole world should be taken. This first census took place while Quirinus was governor of Syria, and all were going each to his own town to register. And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the town of Nazareth into Judea to the town of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to register together with Mary, his espoused wife, who was with child. And it came to pass while they were there that the days for her to be delivered were fulfilled. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds in the same district living in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of God shone round about them, and they feared exceedingly. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of goodwill." Thus for this feast day's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, first of all, this morning, I wish to bring to your attention the great joy that should be in the hearts of all of us. For two of our own are going to receive Holy Communion this morning for the first time, Alan Olson and Michael Wendland. This is indeed a great joy and a great privilege and a great honor. And I beg that all of us pray for them, that when they do receive their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the first time, that they will experience joys they've never, ever known before. And I predict that they will. Therefore, let Mr. and Mrs. Olson come up first for communion, and after they return, Mr. and Mrs. Wendland to receive Holy Communion together, both of them as husband and wife. And after they have returned to their places, that the rest of us will come up for Holy Communion. Let us pray for the wives of these men. I do think that the wives had a little something to do with all of this, in their good example, in their patience, and in their prayer. We welcome all of our guests. We're very happy to have you. And I recommend that you read the cherished welcome for visitors that appears in this bulletin of this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, you know well enough that I, together with the monks, each one, and the sisters, each one, extend to you and to all of those you love most a most blessed, a most holy, and a most wonderful Christmas. This is not just another show. It is a moment of the most serious point to be kept in mind that ever took place. It is a central point in all of history. It is not a joke. It is not something to be made light of or to be looked upon as something that you just do on the 25th day of December each year. Today we have to travel to Bethlehem. I'm afraid that too many of us are really afraid to go to Bethlehem, because we see there something that is completely beyond us. Isn't it interesting, Bethlehem? While it is a place of the greatest joy and peace and serenity, it is at the same time a place of utter confusion. Bethlehem brings peace to those who love. Bethlehem brings confusion to those who do not love. In Bethlehem, we find nothing. Nothing at all that would be acceptable to any of us in these days and times. There is poverty there, at least to the naked eye. And in the destitution of Bethlehem, to those that love, they're told not to be afraid. That's the first thing the angel always tells anyone that the angel appears to. Do not be afraid. And then the very next thing the angel says is peace. But he says this only to those people, to those individuals whose will is good. You can see it in the people's faces as they walk about. Anger, frustration, downcast eyes or side glances. And yet, these are the ones who have at their disposal all the pebble, they have at their disposal, excuse me, they have at their disposal all the pebbles of the earth. And yet with all the pebbles of the earth in their hands, there's anger there. Why? You would think that they should be happy because they have everything they want. And yet you see the others in poverty sometimes, in sickness sometimes, in distress sometimes. Obviously, they do not have at their disposal the pebbles of the earth. Instead, they have the bleak, unclean straw of a place where people housed animals. And it is there that there is peace. The most wonderful treasure known to man. All the pebbles that have ever been brought together since the beginning of time are not enough to purchase one single solitary word called peace. The world does not know peace. The world does not understand peace. The world does not even want peace, because we are so busy grabbing away from each other. So on this night, my beloved people, may it be that of course, this is not simplicity, what's in here, we know that. We're trying to make it appealing. If it was a stable that we were working out of tonight, how many of us would be here right now? You see, that's the way it is. But our Lord understands, and He understands our likes and dislikes. And He brings to us Himself in ways that will attract us and bring us hopefully closer to Him. So I wish you in our own name the best. I wish that each of you goes home and that each of you will bring with yourselves as you go home just a little taste of what we're talking about when we say peace to men of goodwill. Before you leave, I strongly recommend that you come and pay a short visit to the Blessed Mother at Fatima here in our church. And please give her the honor that is her due, that at this particular moment in history is being taken away from her, and it is being and her honor is being trampled underfoot by those who simply refuse to try to know, love, serve, and understand their God. Bring to her your love and veneration and your devotion and ask her to help you and us as we walk through these hot sands that are under our feet today. To those who do not understand, this next statement will be a source of even greater confusion. So be it. Mary, Mary, is the only hope for our fallen world and church. My beloved people, if you will please kneel.